Continue our studies in the book of Romans. I'm going to read Romans chapter 1, verses 13 through 15 this morning, and focus our thoughts on verse 13. Paul says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." As I was reading this verse 13, I was thinking about those who resist studying the scriptures from a grammatical point of view. They don't like grammar. It's kind of boring, uninteresting. You have to work at it. But you know what? Grammar is important. Now, if I read this verse 13, without grammar, it would not give us the sense that Paul was writing. Because here it says, "I would not have you ignorant, brethren." In other words, leaving the comma off here, he says, "I don't want you ignorant, brethren." You see the point? "I would not have you ignorant, brethren." Where he's not saying that at all. He's saying, "I would not have you ignorant, brethren." The comma is after the word ignorant. So he wasn't calling them ignorant brethren, and he didn't want them. And that's because the grammar is put in there. And of course, in the Greek text, there is not grammatical things in some Greek texts. Some Greek texts do have it, but I think they're man-made. But anyway, the point is this. Grammar is important. So Paul is desiring to come unto them, that he might have some fruit among them also, as he's been having fruit in other places. Now, a common thought today of having fruit is getting people saved. I've heard this from as far back as I can remember, the fruit of a Christian's another Christian. And that's not really the truth. Now, I think that if we are bearing fruit, there may be those who come to know the Lord as their personal Savior for you. But Paul says, "I desire to have some fruit among you." Now, what I want you to think about is, what is fruit for? Fruit is for those that are hungry. Fruit is food. So Paul says, I want to come to you at Rome because I know you guys are hungry. And not hungry for physical food, but spiritual food. And Paul wanted to come to Rome to have some spiritual food that would feed them. That's the reason why he says, "I would like to come to Rome and have some fruit among you." When we read in Matthew chapter 21, verse 43, we find that the fruit also has to do with the way of life as well. But in Matthew 21, 43, Jesus is talking about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel wasn't producing the fruits needed to enter the kingdom. So not only is fruit bearing having to do to feed others, but if I can bear fruit to you that I am seeking to enter the kingdom, you know what that's going to do for you? That's going to feed your desire to do what? To enter the kingdom. That's feeding you what is important to me. You think Paul did that? You better believe he did. So, in Matthew 21:43, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you," that is the nation of Israel, "and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." And he's talking about Gentiles. The door was going to be open to the Gentiles for them to bear fruit that would qualify them to enter the kingdom. Fruit has to do with lifestyle as well as ministry. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 23, it says, Beware of false prophets. Now this is better understood when you think of it in terms of teachers. We don't have prophets today. The Word of God has already been, or the Scriptures have already been revealed. Okay? We don't need a prophet to tell us any more than is in this book. Okay? So there are false teachers which come to you in sheep's clothing. When I think of sheep's clothing, now I don't associate these false teachers necessarily being lost people, though I know that there are lost people that are false teachers and false prophets. In fact, I read about a false prophet on the internet this week. There was a Jewish fella working in a fish market, preparing the day's catch to be sold to the public. And this fish that he was working on started speaking in Hebrew that the end of the world was coming. And he cut himself so bad he had to go to the hospital to get it sewn up. And he ran out to the front of the store saying, "This fish is prophesying the end of the world." So, you know, there are false prophets. Even fish speak in tongues. So, anyway, here you have false prophets, false teachers in sheep's clothing. They look like the genuine thing, and I really associate them as saved people. Okay, because you'll see that in just a moment. They're in sheep's clothing. They look like sheep. They look like those that are following the Lord. They look like those that are hearing the Lord. And my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me in John 10. And they are the ones that are saying, "Lord, Lord," because this is in the context of those that are saying, "Lord, Lord," which I'm going to read in just a minute. But they're not doing the will of the Father. That's the false teachers. They're saying, "Lord, Lord," but they're not seeking to do the will of the Father so that they can enter the kingdom. Because they think they're going to have the kingdom regardless of what they do. They're saved, and they're on their way to the kingdom. But inwardly, they are raving wolves. Wolves are those who harm other people, or, you know, harm their prey. "You shall know them by their fruits." In other words, you will know not only the false teachers by their fruits, but you will know the other teachers that are teaching the truth. You'll know them by what are their fruits? What they're feeding the people. Okay? It's not their followers necessarily. It's what they are giving. Fruit is for feeding. Fruit is for giving people something to eat. You know, I enjoy an apple. I like to just chew into a real fresh, juicy apple. It's refreshing, isn't it? I think of fruit bearing as being a source of refreshment to others. Okay, but let's go on. "You'll know them by their fruit," that is, their lifestyle and doctrine. "Do men gather grapes or fruit of thistles or figs of thistles?" No. Thistles bear what kind of fruit? Their own kind of fruit. And so therefore we are not to be gathering grapes and figs from false prophets. Now let's go on. I brought out in Matthew chapter 3 verse 8 where John told those who were coming to be baptized, he told them to bring forth fruits meet or fit for repentance. In other words, you change your lifestyle. See, fruits bearing has to do with lifestyle as well. The way you live. Because the way you live and your testimony to me by the way you live is feeding me either good information or bad information. And when you look at it from that perspective, you get a whole different view of what these passages of scriptures are dealing with. Because fruit bearing is feeding other people. In other words, an apple tree, when it bears apples, it's bearing it for whom? Somebody else. The apple tree has no use for apples. Okay, let's go on. Verse 17. So, even so, every good tree or teacher brings forth good fruit. And a corrupt tree, that is a teacher, bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. I want you to think of yourself as a tree. We're all trees. We're all fruit-bearing trees. Now, if you're living a good life, in other words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, what kind of fruit are you going to have? Good fruit. If you're living in a state of rebellion and disobedience, what kind of fruit are you going to bear to me? Well, if you're prosperous and you're getting away with sin in your life, I say, well, maybe I can do the same thing. Is that a good testimony? Are you feeding me what I need to help me in my walk with the Lord? Are you feeding me with things that would help me to do the will of the Father and enter the kingdom? Absolutely not. So let me just, I want you to think of yourself as a tree, a fruit tree. I think so often we emphasize the profit part of this thing, and we need to appreciate that we're all trees and we're all bearing fruit. Some of us good and some of us aren't. Okay? Now, in verse 21, in the context of this thing about false teachers, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many false teachers will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied or taught in your name? And in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. In other words, he's denying them. He's not telling them that they're lost. He's not telling them that they're on their way to hell, so to speak. But he's telling them, you're not going to rule and reign with me because you're lawless. If we are become lawless in our walk with the Lord, we are not bearing good fruit. And we're feeding other people that being lawless, we can get away with it. If we are actually getting away with it. We're not getting away with it as far as the Lord is concerned if we're living that way. But we may appear to do that way. In fact, the children of Israel were complaining. He says, the rich man is getting his riches in an evil way. They're prospering. They don't have to worry about anything. And here we are struggling, you know. Lord, there's an inequity here. Well, anyway. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. And so when we're talking about fruit bearing, we're talking about qualifying to rule and reign with Christ. That's what Paul wanted to do. He wanted to bear some fruit among them. He wanted to feed them from his life and his teaching ministry. Okay? Now, in John 15 and verses 1 through 5 and verse 8 talks about the vine. A lot of people, I was just thinking about the different things, how people think that the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Is the fruit of the lips another pair of lips? No. Is the fruit of the womb another womb? No. Is the fruit of the Spirit another Spirit? Well, the fruit of the vine is not another vine. So that tying those things together like that doesn't work. The fruit of the vine, we need to know what it was. Well, first of all, we drank of the fruit of the vine this morning in breaking of bread, didn't we? We didn't drink a vine. we drank the fruit of that vine, which is the grape juice. And when we think about gathering grapes from figs, well, we know grapes are fruit, right? And figs, excuse me, grapes from thistles, we don't do that. And we don't gather figs from thistles, because figs and grapes are fruit. Okay, let's go on. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And it's interesting to notice the present tense in these verses. There is a lot of present tenses in here. A bearing fruit is to be done all the time. And if we're not bearing fruit, he is taking away. Sometimes he's taking away things from us to cause us to suffer from lack of things that we might want, because they're hindering us from bearing fruit. And he is working, I like this, he is working all the time to help me to bear fruit. Because we know that if we're bearing fruit, we're glorifying the Father. That's what it says in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. You think God just wants to see that you're not bearing fruit in your life and then zaps you or takes you away? No, he's working. In fact, he tells us, that if you do start producing fruit, he's going to start pruning you. I hope I don't have to lose any appendages. That would be very painful. And sometimes that's what happens. Some things happen in our life that are painful. But you know what? It helps us to produce more fruit. Let's go on. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth. That's present active. He's constantly working. He's either bearing you up or taking you up. In other words, lifting you up in a place where you can bear fruit. Or he is cutting you back off the vine, that it may bring forth more fruit. And then it says, you're clean through the word. Fruit bearing, you've got to be clean. You cannot be dirty and bear fruit. A vine, a grapevine, cannot lay on the ground and bear grapes. It's got to be up on the vine, or it will not bear fruit. And so therefore we need to be clean. We can't be in the dirt. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You can't do this alone. You've got to abide. Except it abide in the vine, you cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. And this word abide is in the present tense. You've got to continue, you've got to dwell, you've got to endure, you've got to be present, you've got to remain, you've got to stand, you've got to stay. Now that's how that word is translated in the King James Bible. That's what abiding means. It means to endure. It means to dwell there. You live there. You live where? You live in preparation of fruit bearing. Or after you've prepared, then you give your fruit. Okay? Now, so we need to continue to abide. In verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth, that is, continues, dwells, endures, in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If you don't have the Lord working for you, you can't produce any fruit. That's all there is to it. Without me, that's pretty final, isn't it? When it comes to fruit bearing, if you're not abiding in the Lord, and that includes prayer, that includes reading the Scripture, that includes fellowship with other people. If you're not doing that, and prayer having to do with the Lord and His intercessory prayer for us, we can do nothing. We can accomplish nothing. And of course, in verse 8 it says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. Now, isn't it interesting? To be a disciple, you have to be able to be a what? A fruit bearer. If you want to be a disciple, you got to be able to feed other people. You got to produce things that will encourage other people in your life. Okay? Then, the fruit of the vine. Well, I mentioned already the breaking of bread, and where Jesus said, that I will drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. In Mark 14:25, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my kingdom. A lot of people think that the fruit we're branches on the vine, right? We're branches on the vine. And if the fruit of the branch is another branch, what good is the vine tree? who would have a vineyard if all you got off of that vineyard was branches? I sure wouldn't. You know what? I couldn't even take cut a piece of vine off of a grapevine and take it into the shop and turn it on my lathe. I sure wouldn't want to build a cabinet out of vine, would you? In fact, the Lord said in the Old Testament, He said you wouldn't even use a vine to hang your hat on. Did you know that? That's what it says. You wouldn't even use a vine to hang your hat on. You know what a vine's good for? Kindling. That's what He says. I can't give you the verse right now, but that's what it amounts to. Okay. Now, the fruit of the vine is defined, I believe, in Judges 9:13. The vine said unto them, should I leave my wine which cheereth God and man? What is the fruit of the vine? It's that which cheers God. You know what our fruit should be doing? It should be cheering God. I was talking to a dear brother yesterday. No, it was Friday. I was talking to him Friday. And I said, I'm glad you're going to have meetings down in Florida. And I said, you know what? If you're faithful to the Word, you know what you're going to be doing? I said, you're going to be serving ice water in heaven. And I didn't see him because I was talking to him on the phone, but I knew there was wheels rolling in his head and he was probably scratching his head about, you know, what does this character say? Serving ice water in heaven. Well, I said, brother, turn to Proverbs 25:13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is the faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Is that serving ice water in heaven? Well, my master's in heaven. And if I'm refreshing him with something that comes out of the snow, it must be ice water. It's ice cold water. And so, being a faithful messenger, and was Paul being a faithful messenger? Yes, he was. He was a faithful messenger. And he wanted to not only refresh the saints, but he wanted to cheer and refresh God. My fruit can refresh God. What Christ can produce through me, if I'm willing, will glorify the Father, and if He is glorified, He will be refreshed. It will bring joy to His heart. Now, I've already let you know about the fruit of the lips is not another pair of lips. But what is the fruit of the lips? Well, Hebrews 13:15 says, by Him let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. What is the fruit of the lips? It's praise unto the Lord. And He can, when we're praising the Lord, is He getting blessed by that? Yes, indeed He is. He likes that. When we're praising Him with the fruit of our lips, He is feeding on that testimony from you and from me. We are trees that have lips that can praise Him and cheer His heart. Philippians 1:10-11 talks about the fruits of our righteousness, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. When I am filled with the fruits of righteousness, does that encourage you to do the same thing? Absolutely. You come, you hang around me, and I'm living a life that's pleasing to God and is righteous and without offense. That's going to encourage you to do what? The same thing. The same thing. Now, In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, most people talk about the fruit of the Spirit as being the Holy Spirit. But I personally feel like that this is the Abba Spirit. This is the Spirit of Christ that's in us. It's the Spirit that Christ had in Him when He cried, Abba, Father. I'm going to read verses 22 and 23 of Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. You can put the metal, you can put the hammer to the metal, or how is that thing? You can get to put the pedal to the metal on this. You can, there's no speed limit on this. You can go as, with all of these fruits, as much as you can. We were talking about speeding this morning in Sunday school. But the point is this. If I live in love, when you're around me, you know I love you. I care about you. When I have joy, you can also get joy. When I have peace, does that feed you with peace? Absolutely. If I'm doing this and I'm wringing my hands and does that help you any? No. So the fruit of the Spirit in this passage of Scripture is not the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of submission to the Lord. If I'm gentle, if I'm long-suffering to you, if I'm good to you, if I'm faithful, if I'm meek, if I'm in self-control, these are all things that help you to do these things as well. These are fruits that feed you. And this is the fruit that I need to bear. And I just pointed out these verses to support what I just was telling you about the Abba Spirit in Galatians 4:6. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Spirit of His Son is not part of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. This Spirit of His Son, it's not the Holy Spirit is not the Spirit of His Son, because the Holy Spirit is the Godhead. The Spirit of His Son has to do with the Spirit that He demonstrated in the garden in Mark chapter 14, verse 36. When He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. That's the Abba Spirit. That's the Abba Spirit that Jesus Christ demonstrated in His life. And let me tell you, did you know that'll feed you? When I can say God's will be done in my life, and you don't like what's happening in your life, you know what? I can encourage you. I can refresh you. I can cheer you. And we need to bear that kind of fruit. We need to be a blessing. Fruit has to do with being kindly affectionate one to another. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, honoring and preferring one another. In other words, we shouldn't be beating each other down. We should be building each other up. We should be encouraging one another. There should be a spirit of affection among us. Brotherly love. And brotherly love has to do with ministering to the needs of people, not telling them to be warmed. and the grace of God go with you. But if they're hungry, feed them. Now this is talking about brothers. Sometimes we get all confused about our neighbor. Our neighbor are those that are in the family. Now, what I'm saying in the family, there are saved people that we are ministering to. Because Jehoshaphat joined allegiance with Ahab, and Jehu the prophet chewed him out when he came back home. He says, what are you doing helping people who hate God? You see the difference? When we think about helping other people, if people hate God, we're not to help them. Okay? That's the point I'm trying to make. I'm not saying that we should be anti-caring of other people, okay? But if we don't care for those of our own household, we're infidels and we've denied the faith. Okay, let's go on. We need to be a blessing. We need to distribute to the necessity of the community. Is that what it says? No. We need to be distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. Blessing them that persecute you. Blessing and cursing not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. Consider condescend to men in a low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense no man evil for evil, providing things honest in the sight of all men. This has to do with bearing fruit. Bearing fruit to not only in our own fellowship, but to all men. When people can see what we're doing here, then it's a testimony to all men. It says, if you love me, they will know that you are what? If you love one another, men will know that you are my disciples. Absolutely. We love each other, they'll know that we're disciples of the Lord. Another thing in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, fruit that we need to bear is to provoke one another to love and to good works. That's pretty good fruit, isn't it? For me to provoke you, not to anger, but to challenge you to good works and to love for each other. Now, I want to share this incident that happened to Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem. It says, now in the morning as he returned to the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it. In other words, here is Jesus. He recognizes a fig tree. He recognizes that this tree, being a fig tree, will have fruit. He went to the tree expecting what? To be fed. To feed. To be satisfied. To be nourished. To be encouraged. And it had leaves on it. Did you know that a fig tree, when it has leaves, it tells you one thing. The fruit is already there. The fruit is born first, and then the leaves come later. And when you see the leaves, you know that there is ripe figs on that tree. And Jesus saw that tree, and he saw the leaves on that tree. He knew that there should be figs on that tree. Now let's go on. When he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. You know what that reminds me of? When the Lord came to Adam and Eve in the garden, they had only what on them? Leaves. Naked. You know? Jesus was hungry. He saw the leaves. He knew that there should be figs there. And there were none. Leaves only. And he says, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. Well, the word ever is not a good translation. It should be age. In other words, Israel would not be fruitful for the what? This age, the king of the church age. Israel is not fruitful. They're fighting for their life. It's not a blessing to be in Israel. Not an encouragement. You know, to ride the bus. Who wants to ride the bus in Israel? You know, it's a dangerous place to be. Okay. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? In other words, if we are not bearing fruit, what's going to happen to us? We're going to wither up. And what do you do with a withered up tree? Well, you use it for kindling. You burn it. But you know one thing I need to share with you is this. And that is in Psalms 1:3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. In other words, if you're in the Word of God and you're studying the Word of God and you're musing upon the Word of God, you're going to be like a tree planted by the waters. And you're going to bring forth fruit. But you know what? It's fruit in season. You know, we're not bearing fruit all the time. And so therefore it's important for others who are bearing fruit in the fellowship. And their fruit bearing is in a different season than your fruit bearing. And so therefore, the congregation or the fellowship is not dependent on your fruit all the time. Okay, that's the point I want to make. It's fruit in season. And some people will bear fruit in other ways. And you will be refreshed and blessed by their fellowship with you. And so, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he shall do shall prosper. We just need to make sure we're planted by the river. We're planted where we can be refreshed. We need to be abiding in the vine. And let me tell you, if we're abiding in the vine, we're going to be blessed. And we're going to be refreshed. And we're going to have the strength and the power to do what we need to do. Now, what did Paul want to do? He said, I want to come to Rome. And I want to feed you. I want to encourage you. I want to have fruit among you. They weren't the fruit. It was his fruit bearing for them. He was a tree going to Rome. And he was a tree full of fruit. And he wanted he wanted those at Rome to enjoy. You know, and I hope that you got some fruit this morning that you could use. But you know what? If you're not hungry, fruit doesn't mean anything to you. You know, you'll pass up an apple cart if you're not hungry. But if you're hungry, you know, you're going to be looking for fruit. And so I hope you'll never get full. Okay? Father, I just thank you so much for your word that encourages us to be trees that bear fruit. Trees that bear good fruit. Trees that will bear the fruit of encouragement and joy and peace and long-suffering and temperance and meekness. Trees that will bear compassion. And also to encourage people to press toward the mark for the prize of the above calling of God in Christ Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that you would bless this message to each of our hearts. That if you come to us for fruit, you'll find it, and not just leaves. Bless the message to each of our hearts this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.